Would be turned, please, to 1 Peter, just for a few verses there. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I was thinking of Brother Tom mentioning the glory of that person. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He's going to bring you into His glory, His acquired glory. And Peter tells us here that we have an inheritance. But we want to look at something else. We want to see that the inheritance is a marvelous and precious truth that God has given us. Each child of God, every child of God, is going to enter into an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and separate from sinners. So here we see Peter bringing this out, because Peter's ministry takes us through the world, as it were, and says, points up to heaven, and says, this is where our real blessings are going to be. Some of us were speaking about that at the table today. We have many mercies. Everything we possess here is a mercy of God. And I believe it's interesting to see that he says his mercies are renewed day by day. We know his grace is with us, but his mercies are renewed day by day. Every day we need fresh mercies from the Lord, and we get them. But my thought here is to speak a little bit about this inheritance and see the contrast between what we possess and the one who gives us this inheritance. Oh, how precious it is. There are many people in this world that have great inheritances, but they're not always occupied with the one who gives them the inheritance, or allows them to have it, or passes it on to them. We would like to look just in a few verses to see if we can't recognize what God has done for us even at this very moment. You have something and I have something that we should review. Look at 1 Corinthians just going to read a few verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 20. Therefore, let no man glory... The 21st verse, I'm sorry. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. What is God saying to us? What is the Lord saying to us? All things are yours. And you know how we know we have those all things? Because we belong to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ bore all the judgment for us that we might be brought into a marvelous, glorious relationship. Has he given us something now? Yes. He's given us joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things that are ours now, the mercies of God every day of our lives. Are we thanking him for it? Or are we just frittering away or talking idlessly about it? God wants a response from our hearts. But I just want to point out here that I want to look at this in this sense, that we're looking at an inventory, if you will, some of those in business here know what inventories are required. I know I was required to take inventories every month in the place where we worked. So we go over what we have to see whether we're able to produce the product. So here, therefore, verse 21, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Oh, beloved, this is a most precious thing to consider, this marvelous inheritance that we have. And it's an inventory of it, isn't it? We don't always enter into the completeness of it, but God has it completely for us. So it's nice that I thought of it in this way, to look at this verse as to thinking that we have an inventory of wealth that will never, never be taken away from us. It's reserved in heaven for you. Each one of us can read these precious verses and see that God has reserved something for you. And that's the fullness of God's love and grace and glory. So as we read this, this is an inventory of the Christian's wealth before God. Some of us were speaking earlier than this, just speaking about, crying about a man who had great wealth in this world. And you know what his comment was? He interviewed him and he said, you know, I may have a great wealth in this world, but I'm not the happiest man in this world. Dear ones, all the wealth of the world will never make us happy. So when we take the inventory, as we go over the Word of God, we see here a marvelous wealth that is reserved for us. Peter tells us, reserved in heaven for you. No one can take your inheritance. Well, now, I don't want to stress inheritance. It's a marvelous thing, but we've got to see that there's more to it than just an inheritance. I was just thinking, if you go back to chapter 1 here in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and we see here something else. Where is the origin of this great inheritance? Where does it come from? Notice verse 29. For all flesh, no flesh shall glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Where does this inheritance come from? From what source? It comes from the very highest source there is. It comes from God Himself. Down to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I always enjoyed this. I've enjoyed this for a long time. The wonderful inventory we have, and we see the source of that inventory. And nothing can ever remove it. Because what God says, God begins, we had that verse before us, God is going to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So how precious it is to know that there is an inventory. We can take that inventory now. We can read these verses and see that God has it for us. And His desire is to give it to us too. Oh, we have the salvation of our souls, but we're waiting for the redemption, the salvation of our bodies. And then we're going to enter into the fullness of that marvelous inheritance that we have. But that isn't all either. Again, speaking of the inheritance. It comes from God. Its origination is from God. And just go over to, look at Romans chapter 8. I know these are not new things. I'm not trying to present something that no one knows. I'm not able to do that. But I just want to give you what is enjoyable, something that we can enjoy even now. So Romans 8, In Romans 8, we have verse, there's so many verses could be read, but we're just going to read verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That is your position now, mine. That is our position even now. Are we being led by the Spirit of God? We should be. It was the Spirit of God who wrought in our hearts to bring us into the focus of our need of salvation. It's the Spirit of God that works in us now to assure us of the place and position we're in. We're in a position that will never be taken away. Oh, you say, well, I fail. Failure, yes. But God has made provision for that too. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, to keep us, to bring us back when failure comes in. So the Spirit of God is working in our hearts now to assure us of this marvelous inheritance that we have. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to see here what our dignity is. You know, every child of God, we can walk through this world even now in the dignity. I'm not talking about pride. I'm speaking about the dignity that I am a child of God. And I have an inheritance that you can never take. No one can take it away from me. I have an inheritance there. The assurances that we have in the Word of God. So here, it says here, I'll just begin at verse 5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Oh, beloved saints of God, He is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son. Remember that. We're very unfaithful. We waver. We're unfaithful. But God is faithful. And He's going to bring us into this inheritance regardless of what we may think, do, or say. Because it's His. He's given it to us. But He wants us to enjoy it. So here He's gone even deeper than that by saying, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loves us. Read that in the present. He loves us. It says loved here, but does He stop loving you or me? Never, never. Loves us. And washed us from our sins in the blood of His own. What a precious truth this is. We're cleansed. We're ready for that inheritance. All made ready. So this is a dignity by which we can walk through this world. You know, we're speaking of it a little bit this morning. It's good to confess His name no matter where we are. If someone wants to know what church we go to, where we go, tell them, I'm gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any greater name than that? Is there anyone greater than that? Never. Never was, never will be. So how precious it is to be able to say this. And once you do, young people, if you do, you're going to walk away with a joy in your heart that no one can take away. No one. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember that. The only way we can go on through this world and face the difficulties is the joy of the Lord. And so He's brought us into this marvelous inheritance that is ours. It's present in spirit. We haven't entered into it yet. Because of the Ephesians, the sevenfold blessing in Ephesians is all up there in heaven. It's all reserved for you, for me, for you. But one of these days, when the Lord comes, perhaps even today, we're going to enter into that. But I'd like to go back again to Peter. Just thinking about this marvelous thing here. It's a dignity that God has given us. He's given us this marvelous inheritance. It's reserved for us. We can't lose it. And also, He shows us the source of this, where it came from the hand of God Himself. I'll just go back to Peter again, 1 Peter, for a few little closing thoughts in this connection. 1 Peter, chapter 1 again, and verse 4, I'm going to read that again. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. I've marveled at this verse. Wherein? What is he saying here? He's saying that you can greatly rejoice in this inheritance that is yours. Greatly rejoice? Yes. Because it comes from the hand and foot, from the heart and hand of God. But there's something more, it's greater than that. Just drop down a little bit while we just read these verses. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. God has given us this marvelous inheritance, but while we wait his return, we may have to pass through some heaviness, some sorrow, some difficulty. Does that remove God's love? No, it only increases it. To find yourself faced by a doctor that says, not much hope for you. What a rejoicing it is to know that if we leave this world, we're going to go into the presence of God for eternity. Well, just drop down. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 8. We're seeing here a contrast between the inheritance and the one who gives us that inheritance. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice, not just greatly, but ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. I'm going to rejoice in this marvelous and glorious inheritance given of God. But the greater rejoicing is when I look into the face of my blessed Savior who gave me this, who did it all for me and is doing it now. Oh, what a precious truth. The inheritance, yes, that's secondary. We rejoice greatly, but when we see the Lord Jesus, we rejoice with rejoice unspeakable and full of glory. What a marvelous and precious truth. May we enter into the good of these things and enjoy them. Again, I repeat that verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength.